So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 16. This is two verses actually. So 206 and 207. This chapter is entitled "The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan." So all I'll do is I will read 206, and then we will read and chant 207, and we'll do the Bengali transliteration, etc. Okay, so text 206 from the house of Srivas Thakur. The Lord went to the house of Shivananda Sena and then to the house of Vasudev Datta. Okay. In this area of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it goes through the travels of the Lord, and the Lord is wanting to go to various places, but his devotees always giving him a reason. Yeah, you can go, but just wait until this is finished, or when that particular time is finished. And so they don't want the Lord to leave. They want the association of the Lord. And just before this, there's a Muslim governor. Actually, a Muslim spy was sent to observe what was going on with Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And then he reports back, and eventually this Muslim governor, having had the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becomes purified and surrenders to him. And he mentions in the previous verses how this Muslim governor was also chanting the names of the Lord. So, this is 207. Vachaspita grihe prabhu yemate rahila. Loka bida baye yeche kuliya aila. Vachaspati grihe prabhu yemate rahila. Loka bida baye yeche kuliya aila. Vachaspati grihe prabhu yemate rahila. Loka bida baye yeche kuliya aila. Vachaspati grihe. At the house of Vidya, Vachaspati. Prabhu, the Lord. Yemate, as Rahila, stayed there for some time. Lokabida, Vaye, due to fear of crowds of people. Yaiche, present city of Navadvip. Thank you. So let's repeat that. He came to Kuliya, the present city of Navadvip. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord remained some time at the house of Vidya Vachaspati. But you don't have to repeat it yet, it's okay. The Lord remained some time at the house of Vidya Vachaspati. But then, because it was too crowded, he went to Kuliya. Okay, purport. The house of Vidya Vachaspati was located at Vidyanagara, which was near Koladweep or Kuliya. It was here that Devananda Pandit was residing. This information is found in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyakand, chapter 21. In the Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka, the following statement is given about Kuliya. Tataha kumara hate Srivasa pandita Vatyam, Abhyayayo. From there the Lord went to the house of Srivas Pandit in Komarahata. Tato Dvaita Vatim Abhyaya Haridasena Bivanditas Tateva Tarani Vatmana Navadvipasya Pare Kuliya Nama Grame Madhava Dasa Vatyam Utir Navan Evam Sapta Dinani Tatra Stitva Punas Tata Vatmana Eva Chalitavan. From the house of Srivas Acharya, the Lord went to the house of Advaita Acharya, where he was offered obeisances by Haridas Thakur. The Lord then took a boat to the other side of Navadvip, to a place Kuliya, and to a place called Kuliya, where he stayed 7 days at the house of Madhavadas. He then proceeded along the banks of the Ganges. Or maybe there's quite a bit to this purport, a few more pages, but I'll read just this next paragraph and then we'll discuss. In the Sri Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, it is stated, Anye Dyu Sashri Navadvipa Bhumehe Pare Ngangam Paschime Kwapi Dese Sriman Sava Praninam Tattat Angir Nitra Nandam Samyag Agatya Tene. The Lord went to the eastern side of the Ganges at Navadvip, and everyone was pleased to see the Lord coming. Actually, let's just read a little bit more. This is because this is useful as well. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Anya Antyakand, chapter 3, it is stated Sava Parisada Sange Sri Gorasundara Achambite Ashi Uttarila Tanra Graha. The Lord suddenly came to Vidyanagar with a full party and stayed there in the house of Vidya Vachaspati, Navadvip Sava, Dike Haila Dwani. Thus throughout Navadvip the Lord's arrival was made known. Okay, we'll stop there. Omegyanatimirandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Twam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Actually, I forgot to let you all chant the verse. We should actually do that to follow the proper protocol. So let's just have maybe one person on the gents' side and the ladies' side, and then we'll discuss. Anyone on the men's side? On the ladies' side, please. Okay. So I'll just say the verse again. The Lord remained some time at the house of Vidya Vachaspati, but then because it was too crowded, he went to Kuliya. So this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is extraordinarily significant in our journey of spiritual life. And it provides not only sustenance, but it also provides evidence. So sometimes the question is, why do we hear about all these different places that the Lord goes to? Right? And if you go to the end of this particular purport, Prabhupada will actually state, and I'll just read this because it's relevant. He'll state something about the geography. He says, therefore one can conclude that the present-day city of Navadvip and the place is known as Bahiradvip, Kolera Ganga, Kola Amada, Kolera Daha, Gadakali, etc., were known as Kuliya, but the so-called Kuliyara Pata is not the original Kuliya. He's also making some geographical reference to how the different names of the places have changed. This is all Praman. This Shastra, we say Shastra Praman. This is actually evidence. Sometimes people think that religion is a belief system, that someone believes in something. Our teachings don't actually work on that platform. They start above that platform. Here you have historical evidence of the existence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not just historical evidence, the geographical locations of the places that he resided in. The geographical locations of the places that his own eternal associates resided in. And when you go to Mayapur right now, you can visit those same places. So this is not someone's idea. This is not someone's ideology. This is historical fact. In fact, whether it's Mahabharata, right, and within that the Bhagavad Gita, whether it's the Ramayana, all of these are itihasa. Right? Iti-ahasa. Iti, thus, ah, it-hasa happened. Thus it happened. Itihasa means literally history. So these pastimes, they take place. Why? Because Krishna comes in his most merciful incarnation to bring us back, to call us back. In this wonderful section of the Bhagavatam, in the purport, Prabhupada also speaks about this. People are coming. I'll just read this. He says, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Vidya Vachaspati's house, many hundreds of thousands of people went to see him and chant the holy name of Hari. It was so crowded that people could not even find a place to walk. Therefore, they made room by clearing out the jungles near the village. This is very, very significant. We sometimes think in our endeavor to share Krishna with others that we have to convince others, right? The idea is that I'm going to make someone a devotee. No one makes devotees. Everyone is a devotee. The starting point is to understand that hardcore atheist is an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is a devotee. Right? The mindset that we have changes everything. If we work on the basis that this person isn't a devotee, they're not likely to be interested, then we find it difficult to reach out to them. But if we work from the mindset that everyone's a devotee, it is simply that they have different degrees of covering. It is simply that they have different degrees of covering. Then it changes the way that we approach them. That is actually our philosophy. Jivara Srupoya Krishnera Nitya Das. Your aunt or uncle who doesn't like you being involved in Krishna consciousness, they're an eternal servant of Krishna. It is simply a question of covering. So what is outreach? Outreach is the science of seeing how we can remove the coverings to them understanding who they always were. That's the point. Everyone, atheist, religionist, whatever religion that they are in, they're all eternal lovers of Krishna. Here, this potency is displayed. attractive potency. We say that Krishna is full in all opulences. Not exactly. Because actually there's no such thing as Krishna being full. You see? These opulences, these are attractive agents. Okay, beauty, an attractive agent, right? So people are drawn to that. Fame, an attractive agent, people are drawn to that. Wealth is an attractive agent, people are drawn to that, right? Knowledge, strength, renunciation, they're attractive agents that people are drawn to. And when you find someone who's not full in those agents, but who has those qualities, and those qualities keep increasing, right? So it's not that it's saturated. When the fame keeps increasing, when the knowledge keeps increasing, when the beauty of this individual keeps increasing, in other words, when that bugger, those opulences keep increasing, then you found the person who is Bhagavan. Right? And that person is the Lord. So what you see here, these individuals being attracted, this is a display of the all-attractive potency. Achintya Shakti, the potency of Krishna, the Antaranga Shakti, the internal potency, it is absolutely all attractive. Ironically, in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own prayers, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Ironically, even though the Lord's potency is all attractive, and even though the Lord's holy name is none different from him, therefore the holy name is all attractive, in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own Shikshashtam prayers, he says, I am so unfortunate because I have no attraction for these holy names. So there seems to be a dichotomy here. How does this work, right? We say that the Lord is all attractive, and we are in a material world full of people who don't want to surrender to the Lord. So it's like this. And people also ask this question, if this Krishna consciousness is so natural, you know, why do people struggle to do it? Right? Why do people meet challenges? The way to think of it is like this. If you're drowning, you're underwater, you're struggling to breathe, and someone suddenly pulls you out at the last minute, then how is your breathing? You were drowning and someone just pulled you out of the water. Just before you were about to pass away, they pulled you out of the water. How is your breathing at that time? Anyone? Unsettled, labored, etc. But is that the natural condition of breathing? Yes or no? No. The reason why the breathing is so unsettled is that we've just been taken out of an unnatural situation. So when I've come out of an unnatural situation, what is natural first feels unnatural. But if I keep doing it, it will settle back to its natural state. So in the same way, when we take to this Krishna consciousness, it is the state of the soul to love God, to love Krishna. But at first it may feel unnatural, in contrast to the unnatural state of material life that we were previously in. But if we keep doing it, and if we keep practicing, we come back, we reset to the natural state. So therefore, the devotee should understand that this potency that's being displayed, this attractive potency, this display, where all of these individuals, when they heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being present, everyone comes to see him. Symbolizing that actually, the Lord is all attractive. Krishna, all attractive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, as the incarnation of the Lord, all attractive. And that complexion is very significant. Krishna's complexion is blackish like a dark, like a monsoon rain cloud. And at the same time, it's effulgent. The way to think about this is sometimes when it's rainy, I say sometimes we're in England. It's always rain. Okay. But bear with me. Okay. In England, it's raining. Okay, you see these dark clouds, but sometimes you catch the sun is just behind the cloud. You see that? You remember that situation? The sun's just behind the cloud. So you've got a dark cloud and you've got the sun behind it. It's dark and at the same time it's what? It's effulgent, right? So it's luminous and it's dark at the same time. So Krishna's complexion, he's all attractive. That darkish complexion, that symbolizes the supreme enjoyer. And at the same time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam, his form is molten gold. Yeah? That gold color, gold is the color of prema. Yeah? Gold is the color of prema. Radharani is golden. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Radharani, her complexion is golden because she has that full-blown prema, love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord is all attractive, and what we're trying to do in this Krishna consciousness process is to remove all the unnatural ingredients, right? You know, sometimes when you buy something, it says no natural, no preservatives, right? No additives, yeah? We want to be like that. We want to be organic. No preservatives, no additives, right? Just the pure, natural product. But at the same time, when you try to get the pure, natural product, it's not cheap. Right? When you want to get something which is unadulterated, right? Uninterrupted. Ahoiktuki apriti yata. When you want to get the pure thing, it's not cheap. Right? Unnatural is cheap. Pure is expensive. Therefore, we have to be willing to pay a price. Now think about this point. This is really important because it gives fuel to the bhakti. Well, it's the spiritual world. You see these dealings between the Lord, these devotees who are in association with the Lord, their consciousness is literally burning in ecstasy. Right? You'll see throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotees, when they embrace the Lord, they go into ecstasy. This Muslim governor, right, who's in the previous verses, who surrenders, he sees the Lord, he becomes attracted. It is not natural for us to be unhappy. It's not natural for us to be unenthusiastic. It is not natural for us to have old age, disease, death. None of these things are natural. What we do in the material world, most people don't even do this. But if it's done properly, at best, we make the best of a bad bargain. Right? At best. But Krishna consciousness is offering us something beyond that. It's saying that rather than making the best of a bad bargain in the material world, here's the best bargain in the spiritual world. Okay? But that requires us to remove all the obstacles to the pure love that is always there. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to teach us by example, and everyone is attracted. That means in the pure state, everyone loves Krishna. There's a further nuance to this. This process of purification is not what it seems. You can see one thing on the surface. When you dig deeper, you see something else. In this chapter, it's around verses 71 to 75. So the Lord comes back and forth in the residence of Kulinagram. They ask him different questions. Let's actually read it to you, because I was just looking at this yesterday. So, here we are. Verse number, yeah, okay. So, this is verse number 71. The inhabitants of Kulinagram said, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. He says, "A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet." Now, in the purport, Prabhupada talks, interesting, right? So in the verse, Lord Chaitanya says, this person is a first-class Vaishnava. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, "Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second-class platform of Vaishnavism." Isn't that interesting? Second class. When the residents of Kulinagram ask this question, they ask three times. The answer that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the first time relates to the Kanishtha Adhikari. If the person who chants the holy name even once is a devotee, the fine print is that's a Kanishtha Adhikari. This second time that they ask, right, the Lord says this person is one who's always chanting, right? So this is the point. always chanting, right? What is that? Third verse of Shikshashtakam. Janada Pisanichi no. Taroa Pisahishnu na. Amanina Manadena. Kirtaniya Sadahari. That second class means Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chanting, right? And that's the person who's a Madhyam Bhakta. And then in the next point, because they ask again, right? So this is verse number 73. The following year, the inhabitants of Kulina Gram again asked the Lord the same question. Hearing this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. 74. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. So the third time, the same question is asked, he keeps going deeper. First time, someone chants only once, that's a devotee. He doesn't say which type, but he means it's a Kanishtha Adhikari. Second time he's asked, he says someone who's constantly chanting. Bhaktisiddhanta explains, so he goes into the detail, that constantly chanting is a second class devotee. They're all devotees, different classes. Third time here, he says, a first class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name. What do you think is the level of this devotee? This is the topmost. This is an Uttama Adhikari. This is a purple. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if an observer immediately remembers the holy name of Krishna upon seeing a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava should be considered a Mahabhagavat. You see? So this is the reason why I'm sharing this is because the same thing has different meanings according to one's level of realization. As we study more and more the teachings, you find there are so many nuances to the teaching. So many, right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one who chants Namabhas, they are Vaishnava Abhas. He says, one who chants Shuddhanam, they're Vaishnava, right? So there is a more liberal definition of devotee. There's a more technical definition of devotee as well. And the scriptures will give both. Sometimes they'll speak in a very liberal way. They chanted once, they're a devotee. In other places, they'll give a more technical example. This person whose presence causes everyone to chant the holy name, who can inspire the attachment they have for the holy name in everyone else, that's a devotee on the topmost platform. Why is this important? It's important because we process and we progress in an ecosystem. What do I mean by that? There are some aspects of the teachings where we are ignorant. We've never heard it before. We've never considered it before. Okay? And then we discover it later on. There's another aspect of the teachings where it's intellectual. So we understand it philosophically. Yes, I'm not the body. Yeah, got it. Right? But I still want that pizza. I want to drive the Ferrari. All of this kind of stuff. So you can't say it's wrong. The person who says, I'm not the body, Prabhu, true, but it's an intellectual understanding. So ignorance, intellect, the third is illumination. Then the third is illumination. That means that there are those aspects of the teachings that you actually have realized. Classic example, you've been in kirtan and you've directly experienced, this is actually really blissful. It works, right? That congregational chanting, it actually does something. It's not just theoretical. And at any one time in our spiritual life, there are some things that we are ignorant of. There are some things that we are processing and understanding on the intellectual platform, philosophical. And there are some things that we've become illuminated about. One of the ways in which you can understand that someone is a Mahabhagavat is that things are awaited in this platform of illumination, right? And we want as much to be on that platform as possible. Why? Because the illumination means what you've embodied. Illumination means you've embodied it. You're no longer speaking it primarily. You're living it. You see? When someone has that kind of potency, the holy name is reverberating all the time within the individual's consciousness. And therefore, wherever they go, the atmosphere becomes surcharged with their devotion. You see? That's the point. And when a devotee is very pure like that, one of the symptoms of bhava bhakti is that such a personality is attractive to everyone. Right? And that's at bhava bhakti. What to speak of prema bhakti? At bhava bhakti, such an individual is attractive to everyone. So we see this. Again, if we know what we're looking at, then it has different significance. So Prabhupada comes to this world. All of these individuals from all these backgrounds, races, different genders, they're attracted. How are they attracted? Because externally, he looks like an old Indian gentleman only. Right? Externally. But he's carrying the force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's literally an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a jiva who is empowered by the Lord for a particular service, a particular mission. So we're trying to digest this philosophy. We're trying to bring as much into this third category. We want to remove ignorance. The platform of intellect is useful, right? We can understand something intellectually. We try to process it. That's good. But we want to come to the point of illumination. And that's why this teaching is so powerful, because this teaching is parallel teaching. Okay? Parallel teaching means that, Krishna consciousness deals with what we really are, and Krishna consciousness deals with what we think that we are as well. You understand? So we're in this world. Prabhupada said we can preach, we can sit in a mud hut and chant. He said, but who would come to hear the philosophy? It is my humble suspicion that if the food or the prasadam, if the prasadam was not tasty in the temples, morning program would suddenly dwindle. You understand what I'm saying? It is my humble opinion that if the kirtan wasn't pleasing to the ear, less people would come for the kirtan. Okay? So, the teachings deal with what we are, and the teachings deal with what we think that we are as well. These two things are being navigated at the same time. At the same time, we want to, as quickly as possible, come to not just theoretically or intellectually understand, but to be realized on the platform of the soul. There's memories of Srila Prabhupada. I remember seeing one episode. These are so amazing, because you see the devotion in action. You get to see what it's like in the modern contemporary world when someone is walking in this world and they have full-blown prema. They have pure love for Krishna. There's a pastime. The devotees dropped the prasadam, right? The plate of prasadam. They dropped it. And they dropped it somewhere which was actually, there were some other things there. And they were so apologetic to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he said to them, just pull it on the plate. And then he ate every single morsel. He ate every single morsel. They saw him. Everything. He wasn't thinking, oh, you dropped it. This is unclean. He ate everything. What is that? It's that realization. Now, I'm not saying that we should copy that. Right? We have to act according to our realization. And that's why Krishna consciousness is really a science. Right? See, it's a science because it's personal. It's not one size fits all. What works for someone at one level of advancement, for someone at a lower level, that will be an issue. It'll be a real issue. So we have to see where we are. And by seeing where we are, we apply the philosophy expertly. It's just like, and we've all experienced this, it's just like when you were at school. You don't start teaching PhD mathematics to the person who's not yet understood basic algebra. In fact, if you give them PhD level mathematics when they fail to understand basic algebra, you'll throw them off of their taste for learning the subject. You understand, right? You're trying to build, and this is necessary. Why? Because the more advanced understanding builds upon the previous understanding. I constantly see, being transparent, I constantly see devotees who are challenged by certain statements. And why are they challenged by certain statements? Because they didn't first understand, what is it, dehi no sminyata dehi kum renyuvanam jara. Tata dehantara praptiya deras tatra namuyate. What was the first lesson that Krishna gave Arjuna? What did he tell him? You're not this body. We think, yeah, good, right, let's get to the advanced stuff. We don't understand. No, this is advanced for modern civilization. In this world we live in, where there's so much hyper-identification with the body, this is advanced. And these other things build on this. These other teachings build on this. Okay, I'm not the body. What does that mean, actually? Right? It means you're not meant to die. It means you're not meant to have birth, old age, disease, death. And that understanding has to be put in place before these other things can be understood. So there's a graduation of knowledge. Now you can say, well, I see some devotees who don't necessarily take these things in that order, and I've seen them do well. And it's true, you have seen some devotees do that. Again, there's two considerations here. One consideration is, then this doesn't matter. Wrong answer. That's called the attribution error. I jumped to the wrong conclusion. The proper conclusion is, if they're doing well, it means they assimilated that teaching in the previous life. You see, they came in with the foundations already in place. Therefore, naturally, they're now digesting higher understanding, because they have a firm basis for that higher understanding. Right? This is how the teachings actually work. So what we're meant to do in Krishna consciousness is really take this teaching in. So now the question is, how do you take it in? Yeah. I remember noticing something, because I, you know, like to hear classes and note stuff. And I remember distinctly seeing how my spiritual master often wasn't impressed by people who could quote lots of verses. I'm like, yeah, Sanskrit, you know, like that. And he's just like, you fool, like that. And I thought, why? Because, you know, it's important. And he himself said it's important. But what I came to understand over time is that it's easier to quote the verses than to live the verses. Do you see the point? I can give you all these verses about being compassionate, while I myself am harsh, rude, and lack compassion myself. I actually began to understand, yeah, you should know the philosophy, absolutely should. And you should know these verses. You should be able to quote these verses with evidence. These verses are themselves praman, shastra praman, they're evidence in themselves. But more than that, to have the effect that this person, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is having, to have the effect that Srila Prabhupada is having, you have to embody this. You see? They should meet the verses. People should meet the verses in our character even before they meet the verses in the scriptures. That's revolutionary. They must meet the verses in the character of the devotee before they meet the verses in the scriptures. Otherwise, what they will think is that this theology is not alive. Right? They understand that it's alive because they see it living in the devotee who's giving them the book. They see it living, they see it as a living theology. Was it Tamal Krishnamurti's thesis when he went to university? A living theology of Krishna Bhakti. Right? They've got to see it alive in us, and we have to feel it being alive in us as well. There's so much nectar in this movement. There's so much nectar in this movement if we're ready to open the honey jar, right? If we're ready to open it. And this section also is speaking to that. The Lord goes somewhere, everyone comes. There's a wonderful line I wanted to read you in here, because it really stood out to me. Let me just find this for you. Let's see. Yeah. So this is all part of the same purport. Thus, because it's talking about everyone coming to the Lord. So interesting. It says here, after crossing the river, everyone began to embrace one another because they heard the good news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival. This line, ladies and gentlemen, is so significant. Everyone began to embrace one another because they heard the good news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival. We are in the process of changing the way that we deal with all living entities. We're in the process of changing the way that we deal with ourselves and the way that we deal with humanity. The way that that transformation occurs, the way that we feel genuine love for our brothers and sisters in this movement and outside of this movement is to the extent that we imbibe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. It has this effect. If you love Krishna, you love everyone. And it's not theoretical. It's not something you just read on the pages of a book. You actually feel that way about other people. Now, the difficulty we have is we have so much philosophy that we can skirt over it. So what we're going to do now is press pause. Take a moment and think about the purport to this statement by Prabhupada. This is in the purport to this verse. What would it be like if because of your deep cultivation of Krishna consciousness, when you meet people, you feel a natural, strong love and appreciation for every single person that comes into your association? It is practically inconceivable to imagine, because that's not our experience in this material world. But that's the effect of Krishna consciousness. This world is full of people who try by so many artificial means to bring about a real society of caring. And you see right now there's so much polarization between the genders, between the races, between different nations, so much polarization. The only thing that's going to cause that rift to heal is the advent of real spiritual knowledge. You see? Because real spiritual knowledge, it's so practical. That's what people don't understand. This spiritual knowledge is the most practical. Why is it so practical? It's because it changes people at the root. This point of cleaning the heart, Chaito, Dharpana, Marjanam, that's the root issue. And therefore, any process or practice that brings about not just a change of heart, but any process or practice that brings about a significant, substantial, and sustained change of heart, it leads to everything else changing. Yeah? This is how what you read in the books becomes practical. A heart that is cleaned changes his or her orientation to every aspect of this world and every person in this world. So the most practical thing to do for humanity is to give people a science by which they can clean their hearts. Huh? Knowing that the world that we live in right now it has always been and always will be a reflection of the state of consciousness of the aggregate of humanity. You see? So therefore, it's such a beautiful thing. There's a hidden science in Krishna consciousness, right? We say that Krishna is Sarva Karana Karanam. We say that he is the cause of all causes. There's a hidden science in Krishna consciousness. And it's the science of understanding the cause and the effect. If you look at this world right now and the issues which are in this world right now, they directly symbolize what's going on in the hearts of humanity. And therefore, when you see what's going on in the world, we can infer that the consciousness of humanity right now is in a really bad state. It's in a really bad state. And it's so bad and so bewildering that they don't even know what to do with it. Every time you come to these temples and you see the devotees doing kirtan, you should visualize this is a yajna, right? We were in India recently. We're taking group on retreat. And so as part of the retreat, we went one morning. You couldn't, right? So they're doing the yajna, right? Fire sacrifice. And I was thinking at that time, every time you're in kirtan, every time devotees come together to chant, you can consider it's like a yajna. It's like all of us sitting together and we're throwing all of the sinful karma of the world into the flames of the Sankirtan Yajna, right? Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Janti Hisumedashaha. We're throwing all of the issues of the modern society into the flames of the Sankirtan Yagya. And that understanding is a fact. What you're doing, whether you know it or not, makes no difference. What you're doing when you practice Krishna consciousness properly, you are burning off the entire sinful karma of the entire world. Not just the people in the movement, not just the people in the temple, not even just the people in that particular country, but the entire world. So we should always therefore be thinking, how do we increase our service? There's two ways to increase service. One way is through quantity, and the other way is through quality, like that. Quality is like having a more condensed or more concentrated product, right? It's powerful. We're trying to burn off the sinful karma of the world and elevate people to Krishna consciousness. And if we don't do that, you'll see things happen in this world that will become worse and worse and worse and worse. It will be more degraded. Prabhupada explained that there should have been a third world war, and this was when he was on the planet. He said, but it was averted due to the Sankirtan Yagya. The point being that when the books go out, when the prasadam goes out, when the holy name goes out, and equally when these things go in, okay, inside us, you're changing everything. There are certain patterns that other people would have manifested, negative patterns, but your service removed that karma. You know? So it's a very, very momentous teaching. In this purport, there was another thing that I read. Let's see. I wanted to find it for you. Let's see if I can find it. If not, I'll just make the statement. Yeah, so I'll just make the statement. So this individual, Vidya Vachaspati, he is a brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So I was reading in this area that he was facilitating all these people who were coming to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a class that Prabhupada gave on Radhastami in Berry Place in the 70s. And he said, he was talking about Radharani, and he calls her Jagan Mata, our mother Radharani. And he's explaining on Radhastami, he said that when you offer some service to Radharani, you can ask her, please, you know, offer this to your Krishna. Krishna is yours. And Prabhupada said, Radharani will offer to Krishna and say, Krishna, here is your devotee. They are better than me. Very, very beautiful. This mood of even the topmost devotee, the Lord's own pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, right? Her mood is to facilitate others coming to Krishna. Like, Krishna, here's your devotee. They are better than me. It's a very, very beautiful mood. So the teaching of our Krishna consciousness is not just intellectual. There's a mood behind it. Often people don't always speak about this, but Prabhupada, he was very sweet. You know, his actual character, he was very, very sweet, extremely attractive. In his mannerisms, his behavior, his care for the devotees, you know. And therefore, what was he able to do? He was able to capture their hearts. This Krishna consciousness, if it's practiced properly, you should experience it like a love affair, right? On a daily basis, you should be able to experience it like a love affair. Very, very sweet, right? Krishna is Madhuram, right? He's the source of all sweetness. Raso Vaisaha, the reservoir of all spiritual mellows. So if it's practiced, becomes, and it, the idea becomes that there's more to be done. But you should think of it in this way. You should think that there's more to gain. There's more to gain. If we make a concerted effort to let go of false ego. And by the way, that's not going to be easy. Concerted effort to let go of false ego means I'm going to start now practicing being happy for the success of other devotees. You understand? Right? Someone gets, you know, distributes more books than you. How do you really feel? We'll say all the right things. Oh, yeah, Jai. Thinking, damn, what did he do? Like, how did that happen? You know, I tried all my best lines on the street and still he beat me. What is, Christian, what's going on here? Right? No. Real Krishna consciousness, it's real work. It's real internal work. But the results are unbelievable. The results are eternal. We're going to actually work to remove the false ego. Now I have to practice taking more joy in seeing these other devotees succeed than I would in my own success in spiritual life. It's not. It doesn't feel natural. It's got to be practiced. It doesn't feel natural, again, because just like the drowning person, when we come out of the water, it's like, whoa, the breathing feels labored. But it is natural to feel that way. Isn't that interesting? In our pure state, we would be so happy to see others progressing. In our pure state, we would feel tremendous love and not just love, we'd feel fullness in seeing, wow, this person serving Krishna so nicely. This person, they're dressing the deity so nicely. These ladies, just they look so beautiful anyway. Just look at that. You know, just look at them. In our pure state, this is how we actually feel. So it's blocked by this one thing, false ego. So therefore, in our pure state, you wouldn't actually take offense for yourself. There'd be no such thing as taking offense. Someone does something that you don't like. In your pure state, you would feel sorry for them. How sad. This person's so insecure that they're damaging, they're harming their own spiritual progress by acting in this particular way. In our pure state, we would not take any offense. So we have to practice. With this chanting, with this hearing, with the darshan, with the service. In our pure state, when we do service, we're not worried about the result for ourselves. In our pure state, when we do the service, we're thinking, how can I do it so that Radharani will be pleased? How can I do it so Krishna will be pleased? It is completely selfless service. So there is a smaranam. There's a mentality, a meditation that accompanies the activities of devotion. And the more that we do that, the more that we melt away the false ego, the more that every one of us will experience Krishna coming through. He wants to, this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's the irony of Krishna consciousness. The more you're concerned about Krishna's welfare, Krishna's pleasure, the more pleasure you experience. Isn't that interesting? It's exactly the opposite of what people think of this material world. In the material world, the consideration is the more I focus on my gain, the more I gain. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. If you do a survey of the devotees, you'll see the most unhappy devotees are the most selfish. Right? The most unhappy devotees are the most selfish. And the ones who are really, they really feel something in this Krishna consciousness. They really feel, oh wow, Krishna's so kind. They can feel that. Are the devotees who are soft-hearted, and why are they soft-hearted? Soft-heartedness means that the heart's selfless. It's developed that selflessness. So we really have to practice. And the more that we practice, what will happen is Krishna will do it through you. You know? His ecstasy becomes your ecstasy. More than. There's a place in Krishna book part 1, where Prabhupada writes that the devotees of the Lord enjoy hundreds of thousands of millions of times more than Lord himself. You can find that in one of the chapters of Krishna book part 1. So we don't understand what we're missing. Krishna. We don't understand what we're missing. This is your birthright. You see? We're not meant to be unhappy. We're meant to be fulfilled. We're not meant to suffer birth, old age, disease, and death. We're meant to experience eternality. Sat, chit, ananda. Eternality, full wisdom, and full bliss. And this is the gift that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give every single one of us. So in summary, we understand that the process works in different ways. There's different levels of depth. Who's a devotee? Madhyam Kanishta Uttama. There's what we know intellectually. There's what we don't know, sorry. There's what we know intellectually and what we've realized. What has become illuminated within us. And there is the cultivation of the heart. How do I get to this pure state? I get to this pure state when I practice being even more happy to see others progress. When I take joy in giving service to others with no selfish agenda. And I understand that at the same time, when I don't have a selfish agenda and when I'm doing it properly, not sentimentally, when I don't have a selfish agenda and I'm serving properly, I know I am being personally taken care of by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he will facilitate such devotees. As he himself says, as you surrender, I reward you accordingly. Yeya tamam prapadyante. Tamsateva bhajami aham. Mama vadmanivatate manusya pavasavashaha. So we need to get out of the way of Krishna's reciprocation. Okay? We want to take every opportunity to remove the barriers to experiencing Krishna's love and to being able to share that love, that bliss, that ecstasy, those spiritual realizations. Let that flood into your life and let that be the gift that you give to everyone that you meet through your character, words, deeds, thoughts, actions, everything. It's completely possible. Right? This is the last point. It's completely possible because Lord Chaitanya came. This is the last point. In Kali Yuga, it's considered that everyone's disqualified. Right? In Kali Yuga, everyone's disqualified. So now the question is, if you have a gift to give people and no one's qualified for the gift, you have two options. Option number one, no one gets the gift. Right? No one's qualified, no one gets the gift. Option number two, no one's qualified, so just give it to everyone. You see the point? We're lucky. We got option number two. Right? Option number two, no one's qualified. See, it doesn't matter. Lord Chaitanya says, look, I know you're in Kali Yuga. How can you be qualified? But just take it anyway. Right? That's what we've been given. That's what we have offered to us every single moment of every single day in this movement. It's the highest gift to the least qualified individuals. Right? That's the point. We talk about, what is it? We talk about Kartik being like a sail. But you should understand, you're getting a discount all year round. Like that. That's the point of Krishna consciousness. Okay. So we should take the gift. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Do we have time for any questions, comments? If there is, oh yeah, you can buy a microphone. Good to see you. Hare Krishna. Hare Paul. Yes.
Thank you, Purai. I particularly appreciated the point you made around we have to live the theology before someone reads the theology. And you spoke about the different qualities that we kind of have to live. And I think you gave the goal of trying to see everyone in a deeply loving mood. I was thinking of, we're taught to be tolerant, humble, compassionate. Do we work on these qualities individually, or is there like a root quality that kind of we can focus on that everything else comes from?
It's a great question. In Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he states that within Krishna consciousness, there's what's called the Sarup Lakshanam and the Tatasya Lakshanam. He says the Sarup Lakshanam of the devotee is Sharanagati, which means surrender. He says the Tatasya Lakshanam is the 26 qualities of a devotee. So what that means is, all the good qualities of a devotee, that when they, when those qualities are manifesting from a spiritual basis, they come by our surrender, actually, right? At the same time, if we read Prabhupada's books, he does tell us one should practice being compassionate. The preaching is actually meant to be a physical or social practice of compassion. You see? It can be done in different ways and sometimes with the wrong, mentality. But when it's done properly, what you're doing, when you give people books, your mentality should be, I want to help these people to come back to Krishna. This person, doesn't matter whether they're a millionaire, a homeless person, this person is suffering with their karma. And I don't want to see my family members suffering with their karma. Even the person who seems to be okay today, you don't know what they're going to experience tomorrow. In fact, generally, most of the people who are doing well today are going to have to pay a big price for that tomorrow. You see? So everyone's in a bad state. So the root of it is the sharanagati, the surrender. So that's the main thing to cultivate. But we also practice that, those other qualities in our dealings. What usually happens is that within our spiritual life, Krishna will arrange circumstances where particular qualities need to be practiced. You see? I was speaking to one devotee about this. He made a good point. He said to me, devotee who's from here, he said to me, he told me that, because I won't say that bit. He said to me that, we have karma, right? So wherever you go, sometimes the same thing will play out, which is completely true. But my point to him is that we also have room to maneuver within our karma. And I gave the example of someone who commits suicide, right? So what happens? A living entity has the karma to live till the age of 70. But they have the choice to leave their body early if they choose to. They shouldn't. It's not recommended. But the person decides at the age of 60 to commit suicide. So there's room to maneuver within their karma. So now because they committed suicide at the age of 60, they're not going to get their next body for a while. Because they've actually shortened their life beyond what they should do. So in the same way, so the point that we were talking about was that there's different types of karma. There's Prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma means something that you can't get around. So whatever you do, you keep meeting the same situation again and again. And it's Krishna showing you, work it out. Right? Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you with this situation because I want you to learn something from this particular situation. Yeah, like that. So in that sense, you'll see that as you surrender, the situations that we need for our growth, they will come to us and they'll keep pursuing us because there's something that we're meant to learn from that situation. I know one devotee who had some, realization, and he understood that there was a particular quality that he needed to develop. Like that, he was given that understanding. And it was also, he was given the understanding, and then he was also shown circumstances in his life where things hadn't worked out because he hadn't developed that particular quality. And then Krishna arranged for him to get additional proof from another source about this, and he was told the same thing in a different way. And he understood, Krishna's telling me this. You need to work on developing this particular quality. So it's in the process of Krishna consciousness and through the association of devotees, if we're conscious, it's so beautiful. If you're conscious, Krishna keeps sending you love letters. Seriously, he keeps showing you, look, this is the thing to work on. And it's so beautiful because it's not that all these qualities are equal. You work on the thing that Krishna tells you to work on, the effects are disproportionate. You see? It is a fact that for every devotee, there are particular qualities that help you to make advancement. It's a fact. Right? That's a fact. If you're conscious of what those qualities are and you work on those qualities, you will see that you will accelerate in spiritual life and you'll get so much taste from it. Some devotees, they're greedy. They're actually greedy. And the thing that they need to learn is to be more selfless in what they give. For other devotees, they're too meek. And Krishna wants them, you should be more bold. I've given you this insight, you should be more bold in spreading it. And some another devotee, they're lazy. And so Krishna keeps pulling them situations where they have to work really hard because the lesson he's trying to teach them, you could do more. One of my godbrothers, I was speaking to them, we were in Mayapur. And he told me about an incident that happened with our spiritual master, which upset him. And he told me what happened. He said they'd done a book distribution marathon. So the next morning, they were reading out the scores. He'd done the most books. So my spiritual master read out the scores of everyone. They were all glorified. And then he read out the score of this devotee, and he just skipped over and carried on. And he deliberately didn't glorify him. And he was hurt. So the devotee's name is Ghanashyam Prabhu, Indian body devotee. He was very hurt by that. But he was my Guru Maharaj's personal servant. So later that evening, my Guru Maharaj spoke to him and said, I know you were upset that I didn't glorify you. He told him that. He said, I know you were upset that I didn't glorify you for the book distribution that you did. And then my Guru Maharaj explained to him, but what you need to understand is these other devotees, the number of books that they distributed, they didn't do as many books as you, but they did the best that they could. Because they did the best that they could, that's why I glorified them. You did more books than them, but I know what your capacity is. You could have done a lot more. So because you didn't do as much as you could have done, and they did as much as they could have done, even though externally it looked different, I glorified them and I didn't glorify you. He actually told him that directly. So it works in a different way for us. Yeah. But if we try to surrender, you'll see Krishna will communicate. He does it through circumstances. He can do it in whichever way he likes. But you just want to be conscious. You just want to be conscious. And you'll see how much Krishna personally helps each and every one of us to move forward. He's a very sweet person. He's like that. And Radharani's even more like that, actually. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Do we have time for one? Do we have any more questions, first of all? Yes, no? Okay, yes? Okay, maybe last question, and I know people want to take breakfast. Okay, if you could pass the microphone, please. I think for the people who may be watching online as well.
Okay. Yes. You spoke about ego earlier. Okay. False ego. And there's a very thin line between what you believe and what is the false ego. Mm-hmm. So how can you identify what you believe as being a false ego?
So Krishna says, Bhumi apanalavaya kamana buddhi evacha, ahankritiyami bina prakriti ishtada. He says, man, mind, intelligence, or buddhi, ahankara, false ego. He says, all of these things are material. The way that we understand whether something's coming from real ego or false ego is very simple. Is it for Krishna or is it for gratification of the senses? Like that. We're all acting to some degree on real ego. And we're all acting in the conditioned state to some degree on false ego. That's actually what, so to be technical about it, we have this mixture. But what we're trying to do and what happens at all the different stages of advancement is we act more from real ego as we progress and we act less from false ego as we progress. And it comes through understanding, it comes through practice, and it comes through purification. So the easiest way to become free of false ego is to chant and serve in the association of devotees. Yeah?
Thank you
very much. Chant, hear, and serve in the association of devotees. Thank you. Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janita Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.